This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday. Wednesday, what day it is, Aaron? The 30th? The 29th?
The 27th.
See, I am concerned with the days of the week because 10 o'clock the Prime Minister is supposed to be on. It's now 11 o'clock, 11:07 in fact, and there's nobody saying nothing.
I mean, they're saying something, but I just don't think they're saying what they said they were going to be saying when they said they was going
to
say it.
I believe they're in caucus right now trying to draft this speech. You know, when you think
they're traveling again? They're going to the caucus mountains to draft this speech?
They're here. But you know when you want to give a good impression and you realize that what you have right there isn't working? And you say, oh God, let's pause. Everything on pause. I know I said 10 o'clock. This thing will be ready till 12:30. So we need to start from scratch because I can't say that on air. Today, I'm supposed to have an interview with Disabilities Limited today. Look like they're not showing up. And of course, today is Man Down Mashup Wednesday where we analyze the news. So I guess I'm supposed to break. In fact, I was hoping that it happened during your show, your hour, that the Prime Minister was going to interject, stop your show, right? And just have the Prime Minister speak. And then when it comes to my show, we can...
Just do the commentary. Do the commentary and
do analysis on that. But that didn't happen. So more likely in the middle of my rant, right, they can say, you can see Dwight come and say, no, cut. We got to go to the Prime Minister. And then interrupt me.
Which is better than cut. You can't say that.
No. You say some things sometimes. We got to monitor you.
Yeah.
Me, I sensible.
I'm glad you here.
I sensible. Certain things I don't say, right? Urkas be listening to me. They tune in at 11.
Yeah, Urka don't check for me no more.
But I know that you started some things. I want to continue that since it's Man Down Mashup Wednesday, right? There are a number of people who believe the country's in crisis. Mm-hmm. I think that's a bit much. Over-exaggeration. But a number of people are concerned. On social media, they're using the word embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed. What embarrassed me was last week when a little girl, 12-year-old, was saying, use graphic words, Aaron. Because, you know, I do poetry. No, don't try temper me.
No, I was going to suggest some words.
No. A little girl, as she's walking home, was slapped down, pinned, and taken advantage of violently, viciously, by a monster. And then strangled to death. She gasped for breath, calling for help, and nobody came to rescue her. That's a couple days ago. The other day, a almost 80-year-old woman, retiree, as she returned home from church and thing. A monster slapped her down in the house, choked her to death, and violated her viciously. I mean, again and again and again. She called out.
Why that word rape is so effective? Because if you had just said rape, we would have imagined all of those things. See, but when you say sexual assault, it just
I don't use the word sexual assault when I'm trying to get the graphic images. See, I'm not embarrassed of what's happening with the accusation in the United States to this grand jury about police. See, that's corruption and stuff. I could deal with that. But I can't deal with women being violated viciously. No, not the women. Children and the elderly.
The most vulnerable among us.
Amongst us. And then there's no one speaking out. See, I expected Cynthia Mother Pratt to speak. I expected, our cousin. I call names today.
You mean Loretta Butler Turner? Glennis Hannah Martin?
Well, Loretta's my cousin, but that's distant. I don't claim her.
Glennis Hannah Martin?
I talk about Glennis Hannah Martin. I held paper word from Glennis about the violation of this little girl. Or this woman. I haven't heard a peep from the four, what I call new age PLP women. I'm going to call their name out. We got to call their name out because women in the Bahamas need to ask them, what's up? Why are you quiet?
What you for? That's what we need. What you for? What you there for? Mm-hmm. What you for?
Call the names, Aaron. We got to call the
Pia
names.
Pia Glover.
I didn't hear a word from Pia Glover. Did you hear a word from Pia Glover?
No.
Go ahead. Call the names, Aaron.
Leslie Miller.
I didn't. As much speech she can give.
Joe Beth Colby
the
Davis.
The Prime Minister coming?
Lisa Raming. Yeah, I think we're getting ready to
Okay, break. We got
I call the four names, though, right?
Yes, you call the four names.
All right, we're about
Let's
to
go to the Prime Minister.
To the House of Assembly.
Today, Women's Day, and also extend my sincere condolences to the family of the 12-year-old and the 72-year-old. The 72-year-old, Ms. Vomentia Butler, is known to me. She was a constituent out of San Salvador, United States, family. And so I want to extend my heartfelt condolences to the family, and in particular the community of the United States, where she spent most of her life. Madam Speaker, there's no doubt that the challenges we face, particularly with the violence against women and violence in general in the Bahamas, has been a vexing issue. And not just now, it's been quite a vexing issue. And there's no naysaying that whereas we do see some glimmer of hope in respect to some of the initiatives that we've put in, there really requires a complete resetting of the minds of our people, particularly our young people. And the efforts and the initiatives that we have engaged to keep young men and young women engaged to ensure that their hands are not idle is taking some roots, but it's not sufficient. We will not surrender. We will not retreat. And whereas it does frustrate me, it angers me, and sometimes it's very thankless to see, despite what we attempt to do, it's not working as quickly as we think it would be, we will not give up. Because we also believe that it's just a small segment of the society that invokes the fear and the concern that we hear so often about. And that leads me to the communication I'm about to give in respect to the issue that just arose in the United States. But before I say that, just let me give notice to parliamentarians that I received a letter from the Constituencies Commission, which is required under the Constitution, the Boundaries Commission, the Constituencies Commission, which is required under law, that they notify me when they're about to start their deliberations. And I'm advised by the Speaker, as chair of that commission, that they will commence their work on the 11th of December, 2024. The members of that commission on the side of the government is the Deputy Prime Minister, Member for Exumas, the Honorable I. Chester Cooper, and the Honorable Dr. Michael Darvill from the constituency of Tall Pines. And the opposition member is Mr. Shenandoah Cartwright, a member of St. Barnabas. And the judge that's been appointed by the Chief Justice is Justice Gregory Hilton. So notice have been given to me about the commencement of the work, and I look forward to their report to me. So I can mark it up. Madam Speaker, yesterday, the government of the Bahamas was made aware of an indictment filed in the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York. This indictment that involves criminal activity that commenced since at least May 2021 exposes deeply troubling allegations of corruption within our own borders. It alleges that certain individuals within our law enforcement agencies, those sworn to protect our nation and its people, chose instead to betray that trust by facilitating drug and arms trafficking. Madam Speaker, these are not isolated incidents or random breaches of conduct. The indictment paints a picture of deliberate actions of people using their positions of authority, not to defend our nation, but to enable criminal networks to thrive. For years, as we fought to keep our borders secure, the very institutions meant to safeguard our sovereignty were compromised. This revelation strikes at the core of who we are as a nation. It is not just a failure of duty, it is a violation of the Bahamian people's trust. These actions not only threaten and endanger our citizens, but have also tarnished our nation's reputation. Madam Speaker, this House and the Bahamian people deserve answers. The government of the Bahamas will act decisively to ensure that those responsible for these breaches, regardless of rank or position, are held accountable. This betrayal will not go unanswered. In light of these serious allegations, I want to assure the House and the Bahamian people that my government will act swiftly and decisively. We will engage with our U.S. partners and assist fully in their investigation. The defendants will have their day in court, where the guilt or innocence of each will be established. But we cannot wait, and we will not wait, for the outcomes of court proceedings in the United States. We are going to use every resource and consider every option so that Bahamians can trust those who take an oath to protect them. Potential. Everything is on the table. We will have to change. We will have reform, and we will have action. Madam Speaker, while our proximity to the United States and our vast and open waters have long made our country vulnerable to traffickers, we are far from the only country or jurisdiction to face problems like the ones we discussed today. I will not downplay the seriousness of this moment, but I am determined for our country not to be defined by any wrongdoings of a few, but instead by the urgency, the gravity, and the efficacy of our shared national response. The best of us are far more numerous and stronger than the worst of us. Madam Speaker, on at least three occasions, I repeat this, on at least three occasions, and as recent as earlier this year, I raised with senior members of the U.S. enforcement and intelligence agencies my deep concern over what I view to be a sharp uptick in the interdiction of the flow of cocaine through the Bahamas. At the time, it was clear to me that such an increase could not have occurred without strong intelligence pointing to who was directly involved. These revelations now underscore the validity of those concerns and reveal the extent to which this betrayal of duty undermined our nation's efforts to combat trafficking. It is important to emphasize that the alleged activities began at least since May 2021. For more than 3 years, it has pieced together evidence that paints a damning picture of collusion and corruption. Let there be no doubt. The Bahamian people deserve accountability for every act of betrayal committed during this time. The tree will be shaken until every bad apple falls. To those who believe they can outsmart the systems of justice and intelligence, let this serve as a clear and stern warning. The days of operating in the shadows are over. You will be found and you will be held accountable. To that end, I've directed the Minister of Foreign Affairs to issue a diplomatic note requesting further details about allegations involving a high-ranking Bahamian politician. Such allegations demand thorough investigation and no stone be left unturned in seeking the truth. To clarify on this issue, Madam Speaker, the indictment states, and I quote, the defendant said that in exchange for $2 million US, a high-ranking Bahamian politician who was named would authorize the assistance and involvement of Bahamian law enforcement officials. There's no allegation that any payments were made or authorization given. However, we need to know who and the details of the allegation. There was a headline that suggested that a high-ranking politician was paid. But that's not the terms of what was said. That's not the allegation contained in the indictment. I quoted from it as what was said. Madam Speaker, we owe it to the Bahamian people to get to the bottom of this. We will root out the corruption that has allowed criminal enterprises to flourish under the guise of law enforcement. The allegations outlined in this indictment necessitate immediate action to address the serious breaches of trust within our law enforcement institutions. Today, I've requested a meeting with the Charged Affairs of the United States Embassy to discuss these issues and to reaffirm our government's commitment to full cooperation in uncovering the truth and the dismantling of these criminal networks. Additionally, I will meet with the leadership of the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force to discuss the allegations detailed in the indictment. The leadership of these organizations must understand the gravity of this moment and the immediate need to restore the integrity of our institutions. Our security forces must demonstrate that they are prepared to uphold the highest standards of professionalism and accountability. The Bahamian people deserve a security framework they can trust, and this government will ensure withholding those in positions of authority accountable for these failures. Let this be the moment we commit as a nation to restore confidence in the institutions that serve our people. The Bahamian people have a right to be angry, and so are all of we. They have a right to feel betrayed when those sworn to protect and serve our nation instead choose to exploit their positions for personal gain. It undermines the very fabric of trust that holds our society together. Madam Speaker, the indictment brought forward yesterday reveals a breach so deep that it strikes at the heart of our national security. This is not just about criminal acts. This is not just about criminal acts. It is about the betrayal of the Bahamian people's faith in their institutions. Those who were responsible for protecting weapons from coming to our shores were in fact facilitating their arrival. This betrayal of duty is unforgivable and has placed every citizen in harm's way. All options are on the table to build trust and restore confidence in our law enforcement agencies. The Bahamian people deserve institutions they can depend on, led by individuals who uphold the highest standards of integrity and accountability. Madam Speaker, it is our duty to ensure that the constitutional responsibility to serve the people is upheld at every level of government and law enforcement. The chips must fall where they may, and those responsible for this betrayal must face the full weight of justice. This government, as I said, will act decisively to root out corruption, rebuild trust, and restore the faith of the Bahamian people in the very systems designed to protect them. Bahamians deserve a police force and a defense force they can trust. Let us make no mistake. The anger of the Bahamian people is not just justified. It is a call to action, and we will answer that call. Madam Speaker, before the break, before our Christmas break, I'll bring to Parliament new legislation aimed at strengthening the oversight of the conduct and operations of our law enforcement agencies. This legislation will ensure that no individual or institution is above accountability. It will provide mechanisms to prevent corruption, establish clear checks and balances, and empower independent bodies to investigate and act when breaches occur. These reforms are a proactive commitment to the Bahamian people that this government will do everything in its power to rebuild trust in our institutions. We cannot allow a repeat of the failure, and we must create a framework that holds everyone to the highest standards of professionalism and integrity. The Bahamian people deserve law enforcement agencies they can depend on. And this legislation will be a critical step toward ensuring that those in positions of authority are held accountable for their actions at all times. It is time to set a new standard. Madam Speaker, this House has a responsibility to act boldly and decisively. The introduction of this legislation represents a turning point in our commitment to reforming and strengthening our institutions for the benefit of all Bahamians. Madam Speaker, we are at a critical juncture in our nation's history, a moment of accountability. The misconduct of a few was not and will not define the Bahamas. We are a proud and resilient people, and we will not allow the actions of the corrupt to tarnish our nation's reputation or compromise our future. Let me be clear. Those who have betrayed the trust of the Bahamian people will be found and they will be brought to justice. Our commitment to restoring integrity in our institutions is unbending and unyielding. And this government will take every measure necessary to ensure that law and order prevail. To the Bahamian people, I say, your anger is heard, your frustration understood, and your demand for action is justified. Together, we will rebuild trust, we will strengthen our institutions, and we will ensure that such betrayals can never take root again. Madam Speaker, this government stands resolute in its duty to protect the sovereignty and the security of the Bahamas. The road ahead will not be easy, but with decisive action and the will of the people, we will emerge stronger and more unified. Let us move forward with purpose and determination, ensuring that justice is served, and that trust is restored. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Further statement and communications, first of all, I'd like to order that...
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. That was the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas, Philip Brave Davis, and he's giving commentary about the issue that happened, the grand jury indictment, where involving some senior police officers and one defense force officer. And also he gave reference and condolences to the family of the tragic...
The two victims of just heinous,
heinous
sexual violence and violence.
I need to also mention that today, what's that? I mean, reference to women.
No, it was yesterday.
Today's not the wear orange day?
Oh, no, actually, so in the Bahamas, apparently, today is wear orange day.
Yes.
However, orange day is held on the 25th of every month in the year, right? Because it signifies the International Day to Eliminate Violence Against Women and Girls. Okay. Not the 27th.
Not the 27th.
Right? We're going to the story right now, right? But just another example of an administrative crisis. Like, if we can't take care of the small things, right? The day is the 25th. Why are you doing it on the 27th? The whole purpose of the day is to do it in solidarity with women across and people across the world. Why you want to do it on the 27th and the day is the 25th? And also, was there any real word of the 26th? The national, the anniversary of women's suffrage in the Bahamas. Anyway.
We wear an orange today.
I mean,
Continuing, the prime minister used some certain words, commitment to not being defined by the isolated incident that the persons who
Which is interesting because what I noticed, there was no reference to Project Churchill. In today's global media, mm-hmm. the story about Project Churchill
in
Hamilton, Canada, where they arrested 2 dozen people, right, mm-hmm. with 172 charges, and a number of those people are Bahamian or linked to the Bahamas. In fact, they say that the gang that they are affiliated, potentially affiliated to a gang here locally, one order.
One order.
Yeah.
But this has to deal with a senior police officer who drives direction of the police force in terms of procedures. So I believe that's why he made reference to it.
Right, but when you use the word isolation, right, it's mm-hmm. important to point out that perhaps it is an administrative crisis because how could you talk about this particular incident mm-hmm. and say that it's isolated, but in the media right now is also the story about Project Churchill?
Yeah, I acknowledge that.
Right? The point I'm making is sort of grander than that, that if the problem exists there, it exists everywhere.
But let's talk about the initiatives the Prime Minister said he's going to do. He said he's going to meet with the Charge Day Affair of the U.S. Embassy, right, to speak about what's the incident about. He said he's going to write an official paper, I think the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, to request information about the charges in general.
So are you saying that the Prime Minister's statement suggests that they were caught unawares? Like they had no idea that this was about to happen?
Apparently so.
Do you understand the implications of that? We don't have to talk about it. There's a caller on the line.
Let's go to the callers on the line.
Like the government, sometimes I just like to throw things in the air and
I understand.
See where they...
Let's go to the first caller there, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Much like, you know, brilliant analysis of what was just said. Because, you know when the register, it reaches a point when the register of someone's voice is enough to recall you and you just don't want to hear them speak, just be quiet. I just want a carpenter to build a 20-foot broom and rest it on the side of the Parliament building, please. Because, I mean, I'm just done with these people. Thank you.
And I appreciate your frustration. And the Prime Minister said the Bahamian people should be frustrated. It's just that.
That's because he also said that the Constituency Commission meeting... soon. See, when he said broom, I thought sweep. And then when I think sweep, I think clean sweep, like 2021. And then I think, why is the Constituency Commission meeting? Is it early? Are they meeting early? Is this an indicator of something else?
I'm not sure if I would have referenced that now.
I just saying because that's something that he also said.
Yes. Let's go to the next caller there.
Because he thought it was important to say that even though we all waiting for him to talk about something else.
Yes. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Good morning. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Do you know that the Speaker of the House just suspended the House until December the 4th?
I mean, till December the 4th?
You know, okay. And the opposition was in uproar. I mean, when are they going to do the people's business?
I know the opposition made a request to give a response to the charges, the grand jury indictment, mm-hmm. and that they were refused. Can we read that briefly?
Absolutely.
Before?
If you go online to the National Guardian...
I really don't have no confidence in this prime minister saying that whatever it is, because he could start right now with having a commission of inquiry appointed to look into the RBDF and the RBPF, whatever, and start the ball rolling. Because, all this could be doing what he's been doing for the last 100 years, just talking like Sparky say, just talking. You know, this is an inept government.
You're talking about speaking from a position of strength. At this present time, the speech itself made the prime minister seem soft. It was no, I plan to do this now.
Not soft, you know.
There was
inept.
Nothing in this speech.
Ineffective.
That said that I will move immediately to have a panel appointed to investigate this. Nothing. But we will. Come on, man.
He said he's going to speak to the defense force head and the police force.
No, you know, this is no time for no speaking. Because you know.
Thank you, caller.
From the head.
Thank you, caller.
You can't talk, but you can talk to the head. You got to talk to the foot, the body, and everything else.
I mean, but he can talk to himself.
Thanks.
Because he is the head
I
of
want
everything.
You, before we go to the next call, I want you to read this into the record, what mm-hmm. happened inside the House of Assembly with the Speaker.
All right, so I'm going to read from the official Nassau Guardian. House Speaker Patricia DeVoe rebuffed opposition leader Michael Pintard's request to speak on the arrest of two Bahamian law enforcement officers, citing his failure to make the request an hour before he wished to speak. Hey. She said his letter, dated November 27th, requested permission to speak, quote, tomorrow, close quotes, and was sent at 9.05 a.m. She said had he sent a copy of his communication, they would have gone over it and she would have allowed it as long as he, quote, stuck to the script, close quotes. She put it on the floor and said he would be allowed to speak if a quorum. She said she put it to the members, but no one rose. Okay, so that the update that the caller added is not in this statement, but mm-hmm. we expect to hear it in the next news cycle, that the House of Assembly was suspended until December 4th.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the caller again to include the caller. Go ahead. Okay, the caller's hung up right there.
All right.
I also want to know, Aaron, if you had to rate the Prime Minister's response about this serious issue.
F. But you know what? I can tell you why it gets an F automatically. First of all,
do use numbers.
Because a D is not satisfactory.
I use numbers so I can understand the percentage.
Okay, 1 out of 10?
1 out of 10.
Get a 1. That's 10%. Okay. I can tell you why. Because at the beginning of the election cycle for the snap election, I indicated that the greatest job that Prime Minister Davis would have before him is to cause and compel his colleagues, the people that he has a supervisory capacity over as the Prime Minister, Bahamians generally, and anyone present in the Bahamas to govern themselves and moderate their behavior. So not only is the fact that he had to make a speech indication of his failure, but that he did not address that salient issue, right? Because don't come and tell me and say things like betrayal of Bahamian people's faith in their institution, like this singular event represents that, when we have not had proper filings of public declarations outside of election declarations.
So you're trying to say
since
it's cultural.
2011.
It's systemic.
It's the political culture. It's systemic in the political culture. We have the betrayal of Bahamian people's faith in their institutions. The commissioner's office. In 2015, the people say they got one fax machine and two, what they call them? Word processor. They weren't even the beige computers. Word processors and a rotary phone, right? That long time, but who betrayed the institutions?
Let's talk confidence. The Prime Minister has made some commitment to the Bahamian people. He said he plans to do series of things. I want to know if, do you have any confidence in doing that? And I mentioned that for a reason. Let me let you respond to this. I mentioned that for a reason. I am concerned about the Michael Johnson case. I haven't heard anything about it. It's just gone quiet, as if it's not going to be mentioned again. I've heard Scotland Yard. I've heard the FBI, and just silence.
No,
right? I'm not comfortable with this investigation regarding Michael Johnson at all, right? So if I'm not comfortable with that, right, where I question whether there should be a commission inquiry on the whole system of the police force, do you have any confidence that this would be any better?
Listen, from the moment I realized that people weren't just cracking a joke, that Superintendent Lockhart, formerly in charge of the road traffic unit in the Royal Bahamas Police Force, said at this table on one of these mics, first, that we weren't even aware of that part of the law. Like, we didn't actually know what it said. And secondarily, now that we are aware, we ain't really going to enforce the law. That this the indictment today, the Canada story, the Michael Johnson story, none of them shock me, right? Because I done figured it out from the police officers told us, yeah, we're not interested in enforcing the law.
And I hear all of that. We learned, the Bahamian people learned a new word regarding Michael Johnson.
A phrase, yeah.
A phrase, garden leave.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not sure what will happen to Elvis, what's his last name again?
The two gentlemen.
Well, one's a petty officer, defense force officer. And then it's Elvis.
So Elvis Curtis.
Curtis.
Royal Bahamas Police Force.
What
and
immediately.
Sergeant Prince Albert Simonet.
Yeah, the sergeant being suspended. He hasn't reached a term where you say you have to go through the public service. You can't get fired automatically, whatever it is, right? But what will happen to Elvis Curtis? Someone should give us an update. These are the things that will be happening immediately. Elvis Curtis will be, this will be happening to him. And you know, he ain't coming back no time soon. I assume he lock up until he get bail in the United States.
You think they're going to let him do remote work from the prison?
I assume he's still in the job.
Because they got technology.
I assume we still paying him. No one give any update on what will happen to a
right,
senior.
What is the status of an officer once they've been indicted in a multi-jurisdictional matter? Something like that?
The Prime Minister indicated that the Minister of National Security will give an update later on what will happen on the police force end or what will happen on the defense force end.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to just meet with the leadership. Mm-hmm. The leadership. Because these are senior police officers. That's the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
We were questioning the leadership with Johnson because he was a senior police officer. He was part of the leadership. Mm-hmm. And every day we find that there are cracks in the leadership and you're going to speak to the crack. I am concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if he appreciates that the Bahamian people are now concerned.
And here's my thing. Even if there is no malfeasance involved, right? Even these by them, they get off. They've been found not guilty, right? Even in all of the instances of things that appear to be collapses within institutions, even if it's not due to malfeasance, that it is due to incompetence is equally frightening, if not more.
Aaron, we have a phone call here. Let's go to the caller, give an opportunity to read the Prime Minister's response and to give commentary on what's happening. Go ahead, caller. Let me go back to the paper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, caller. We got to go to a break.
Okay, let's go to a short break. It's now 11:44. Call, I see you. If you go, hold on, and we'll be back and we'll come back with you. This is Guardian Radio AM on the Man Down Mashup Wednesday. We shall be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me.
Directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Pinder is carrying a new line of tile. The Sky series of porcelain comes in four colors: Sky Noir, Sky Azure, Sky Gris, and this one, Sky Glance. In this particular tile, I think you'll find coin gray, silver gray, cloud gray, and gray. All of these are seamlessly blended to make the Sky Glance one beautiful tile. The Sky series of porcelain comes in two formats: 24 by 24 at 530 a square foot, and 12 by 24 at 525 a square foot.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
Services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Aaron, we're going to go straight to the caller. Once upon a time, Aaron, on a different time in a different place, I made not even a joke. I was dead serious. I was vexed. Say, my God, they're using the government car to do things.
To engage. You mean like when we saw the video, the people them delivering the liquor in the middle of COVID? Or when I saw the boy them dropping off the coconuts to the people on Montague Beach, the police car dropping off the coconuts to people on Montague Beach?
They're using the government car to do things.
Yeah, yeah.
Aaron, there are people saying they're now using the government plane. We soon find out. We're going to read the same article. Who all allowed to drive the government plane? And who all involved? You can read that, but let's go to the caller. You can read it. You can see who using the government plane and what is now being indicated or suggested.
Right. Take
let's go to the caller, so we go straight there.
Start reading.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
I knew you. Hi, Ms. Green. Let me ask that question. There was only one person at this time that's capable of driving the plane, and they got him. Okay.
not capable. You mean authorized?
Authorized.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what happens is we have to pay very attention to what they say. Now, I want you to think about this, Nui. Remember the gun lawsuit that they were blaming the gun makers for bringing the guns?
Yeah.
The law enforcement is considered the government. So the government is suing them because they have been alleged to be smuggling the guns that they've been using, and the damage is going to be done. So I guess that lawsuit is out the window.
We can't say that quite yet, but what happens is, look,
where they were indicted, they have a 98% conviction rate, and almost most of them plead out in exchange for becoming cooperating witnesses.
Wow.
You just look at the record. The record is there. But let me tell you something. There's some points in this, small points. There's a number of them, but I want you to focus three. It's very important for us to pay attention to. The increase in cocaine flow through the Bahamas has been a direct result of drug-fueled corruption that has infected various bohemian institutions.
Is that a quotation from the indictment?
Yeah, that's a quotation from the indictment. And this is what they said. Although OBAT missions regularly intercept cocaine and other drug shipments headed to the United States, the seizures in comparison to the scope of the drug trade through the Bahamas, which is in part enabled by corrupt Royal Bahamas Police Force and bohemian officials.
Close quotes.
It's literally saying,
hold on.
They're taking...
Hold on. Close quotes, the indictment quotes. Reads. Yeah, go on.
Right, it reads. Because they're literally, when you start looking at that, you're talking about tons of cocaine seized in the Bahamas. So they're saying, we are sub-trafficking more drugs. They say pale in comparison to what they intercept is pale in comparison to what is being facilitated by the Bahamas Police Force. Another part.
Hold on. Now, pause. That's what is, we're reading straight from the article. I just want to say, right. Hold on. Let me do this, C. Allen. I got the article in my hand. C. Allen Johnson. That's why I'm reading direct from the paper today. Because the first thing I would ask is, how do they know it pales in comparison? Right?
Because, if you even use the signal, you know why? Understand intelligence is collected. Data
I got you.
Is the most important thing.
And even if they're not engaged in an exercise to interdict said contraband, they may be aware of its movement through the region.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Through our sources, through observation, through otherwise.
Okay.
See, but this is what concerned me, right? It says, Obama says, enable corrupt RBDF and other behemoth officials, a cause against the backdrop of rising crime in the Bahamas. So they're saying is, here it is that you have crime that has escalated over the years, and it's a backdrop to these individuals, the corrupt police force and other behemoth officials, who should be trying to fix the problems. They're literally telling us the problem with our crime is our leadership and the police force.
Thank you, C. Allen.
No, just an ending. Let me say this and end
okay.
this. Understand this. Transparency, accountability, integrity, anti-corruption, and freedom of information. Those are five things that we've been talking about for 15-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
If Mr. Davis is sincere, a bill for transparency, a bill for accountability, a bill for integrity, a bill for anti-corruption and freedom of information,
mm-hmm.
and simply put, we could find a way. The dime of corruption in this country is by putting in a fiscal responsibility law where if you can't prove where you get your money from, you know, they say, if I spit in your cup and can't separate the spit from the cup, then you should throw away the whole cup. So if you can't prove your income
or
where you got
this
money from for the last 20 years, we'll just take the whole cup.
See, I gotta go. Thanks. Let's give this person here 30 seconds, please. Go ahead. You have 30 seconds. I know we ran out of time.
Yes, I'm sorry. Listen, morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
Hello.
Yeah, morning.
Psychological operation at the PM ran this morning. I'm not buying into that because C. Allen highlighted something what Trinidad has done and other third world countries who we belittle have done. They simply passed a financial disclosure act. And so until then, you know, if when you look at the people like me and everybody else who's crying wolf at home and abroad, right? Why is it that he just remembered to listen? You still haven't implemented body cams. You still don't take what local people say in serious. So as far as they can say, I'm a nobody. But you see, once I live in the States for a while, once you see an indictment, that means it's an indictable offense. You don't have to be a lawyer, and you know that the people have gathered evidence, a preponderance of evidence. And so let the chips fall where they may, and not what people say, like in this country. So what I'm saying is, even in speaking out, by talking about livelihoods, it's people's lives, man. You guys don't really understand the repercussions of this. We've been seeing all of these things. I came on the radio, I told you all about these transshipment of things on our island that being busted, and you don't hear no adjudication, nothing happened, Some of the senior officers implicated in all these different things, allegedly. All these things allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
But God have a way of revealing things. That's what the word apocalypse originally meant. You see what I'm saying?
Revelation
time and fire.
Okay, thank you very much.
52.
Are we have time to read any of those things, Aaron?
You tell me.
Go ahead, man.
Okay. We're going to continue from where we dropped off. According to the indictment, Simonette, who worked closely with Curtis and Colombian drug traffickers, abused his position to, quote, facilitate the transportation of narcotics and drug trafficking proceeds via air and maritime routes by, among other things, accepting bribes for streamlining customs clearance for aircraft transporting cocaine into the Bahamas, close quotes. Roker, the chief petty officer in the RBDF, allegedly facilitated maritime drug trafficking, quote, by using his official position to obtain sensitive information about law enforcement operations by the U.S. Coast Guard and OPBAT and alert drug traffickers in exchange for bribe payments, close quotes. Quote, although OPBAT missions regularly intercepted states, those seizures pale in comparison to the scope of the drug trade through the Bahamas, which is in part enabled by corrupt RBF and Bahamian officials, close quotes. The indictment reads, quote, instead, while nominally appearing to work in partnership with the DEA to stop the flow of cocaine to the United States, certain corrupt RBPF officials have abused OPBAT and their relationship with the DEA to disrupt law enforcement operations against select drug traffickers in the Bahamas. Quote, among other things, corrupt RBPF officials have denied the DEA access to seize cocaine and related evidence, provided information to the DEA that was contradicted by aerial surveillance, and on at least one occasion informed a DEA agent that certain drug trafficking targets were off limits. Quote, thus, while the OPBAD program has had a share of success, certain bad actors within the RBPF have concurrently worked to stifle its progress and instead to protect and assist their chosen drug traffickers in profiting through the cocaine trade. Close quotes. The indictment noted that drug trafficking, as enabled by corrupt RBPF and other Bahamian officials, occurs against a backdrop of rising crime in the country. In order to shipments, drug traffickers paid bribes to Bahamian law enforcement officials, including Curtis Simonette and Roker, the indictment alleges. Quote, for example, on or about October 18, 2023, Curtis and Simonette each accepted an approximately $10,000 cash bribe payment as a down payment for their assistance in what they understood to be a future 600-kilogram cocaine shipment to the Bahamas through the Nassau Airport for eventual distribution to the United States. Close quotes, it read, quote, the bribes paid by these traffickers ultimately benefit corrupt Bahamian official government officials, including Curtis, Simonette, and Roker, who authorized and approved the drug trafficking activities and abused the power of the state, close quotes. Quote, in connection with discussion regarding drug and weapons trafficking in or about March 2024, Simonette understood that he had facilitated the transportation of certain cocaine that originated from the Fuerzas Armadas Revolutionaries de Colombia, or in English, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, and that a potential weapons transaction was to help the purported FARC members transport weapons from Florida into the Bahamas. When it came down to trafficking cocaine into the U.S., the indictment alleges that various methods were used, including concealing the drugs in go-fast boats and other maritime vessels that traveled from Grand Bahama or Bimini to the U.S. Members of the conspiracy relied on the corrupt RBPF and other Bahamian officials, including Roker, who has access to maritime routes and ports. The indictment says, quote, for example, on or about November 6, 2024, Roker explained that he could provide...
You see this out loud now.
For example, sorry, quotation. For example, on or about November 6, 2024, Roker explained that he could provide individuals he understood to be drug traffickers seeking to transport the United States with information regarding the location of U.S. Coast Guard and RBDF vessels, and advance warning of potential interdiction operations and delay the arrival of RBDF cutters to allow traffickers to escape detection, close quotes. The indictment reads, quote, sorry, the indictment reads, quote, in that same conversation, Roker provided additional advice about how a drug smuggler could avoid interdiction while transiting through the Bahamas, including the type of boat to use in the operations of Bahamian customs officials, close quotes. The accused, also named in the indictment, are Bahamians Ricardo Adolphus Davis, William Simeon, Theodore Nathaniel Adley, Joshua McDonald Scavella, Davon Revian Kaim Roll, Darren Arthur Ferguson, Dominic Delancey, and Donald Frederick Ferguson II. He also Steele Palmer is a... Go on, sir.
We ran out of time, Aaron. I think a partnership with the United States Turks and Caicos is in jeopardy also. It seems as if there is breaches, multiple levels of breaches on our side where our government needs to investigate. And I believe the United States is now questioning their partnership with our government. That's how serious it is. Anyway, this is Guardian. Has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.